matters here, it's the time of year to celebrate the season. Family and friends, the joy never ends. Our connection is the reason. Best part is the love in our hearts. Be the light that shines in the dark. Be the hope. All it takes is a spark. If love is to be, it all starts with you and me. A candle flame in a window pane, or embers burning by the fireside, as we celebrate, we illuminate. The light we shine is multiplied.
Be the light. Today's celebration is all about the light. And I'm here to remind you that such is the nature of life that all it asks and all it wants is the opportunity to appear. You are that opportunity. And so am I. And so it is. And whether we are appearing as light or appearing as frustration or appearing as wherever and whatever we are, the truth is, the spirit of life, the spirit of God, is moving through us and bringing that into full expression. So we're going to move into a wonderful time today of sharing from various traditions and backgrounds as we look at what it means to be in this world at this time. It is the solstice. This is our longest day. Tomorrow morning at 6:30, I believe it is, Eastern time, the sun will be angled as far away from, the earth will be angled as far away from the sun as possible. And then following that, the days will begin to grow longer and the light will begin to come back. So we're going to look at the shadows, we're going to look at the light, and we're going to look at the idea and the fact that all is well and all is good in every aspect. So I invite you to join me, if you will, in an opening. I do this every year at this time, and it is a recognition of the first peoples on the planet, the peoples who precede the written word, who precede consciousness and who formed the very basis of human consciousness for us. And they did so by recognizing what was around them, by recognizing the power of the energies of all of the seven directions. So I will take you through my version of that, based loosely on the Lakota images, and invite you to share with me in this moment. So first of all, allow yourself to take a deep breath and settle to within, to the idea that there is within each of us a power and an ability to recognize everything going forth and going forward. So as we do that, you can use your imagination or you can open your eyes. I have some images to assist us in this process. So first of all, we face toward the east. We imagine ourselves looking into the sunrise, a sunrise that is rich in its goodness and its power, that brings new light and new life every day. Whether we can actually see it on a day or not, it is always there. It is continuous, and everybody experiences it on this planet. Whether they see it or feel it or know it, it is the birth of spiritual renewal. It is the birth of new ideas. It is the place and the area and the direction from which we receive our new spiritual awareness. And it is good, and we declare it so. Aho. We turn then from the east down to the south. We look to the south, the place where there is great warmth, where there is the energy of motion and feeling which feeds our bodies and our hearts in so many wonderful ways. And as we look to the south, we recognize it is the place where emotion stands. It is the place of warmth. It is the place of the inner child. And in looking in that direction and seeing that direction, we celebrate and we say it is good. Aho. And from the south, we spin on around and look into the west. And in the west, we see the place where our ancestors live, the place where all of us, according to some traditions, will go to die. The west is where we follow the sun into the wisdom and the great mystery and the infinite knowledge and ability and awareness of life. So we invite that wisdom and that awareness into our experience today. As we do so, we declare it good and very good. Aho. And from there, we move to the north. The cold of the north. The clean, clear intellectual functioning that allows us to think clearly and disconnected, dispassionately, to see and know the truth in its clarity and in its function and in its focus and in its intellectual clarity and awareness. And we call forward that intellectual ability into each and every one of us because we live in this great intelligence, and we invite it to be alive and aware and awake in each of us. And we do so, we declare it to be good and very good. And then we turn upward. For we look up to Father Sky, to that part that is drawing us to stand tall, to reach for the heights, to places we've not seen and been before. And as we do that, we recognize that Father Sky gives us courage, gives us support, gives us a way to move forward and to stand tall. And we declare it good and very good. Aho. And then we turn to the Mother Earth. We look to our feet and below our feet, this physical planet that provides everything in our bodies that is physical, everything in our bodies that provides us with life and goodness, our tissues, our cells, every physical part of us, which is animated by light from Father Sky, from the sun. So we live in this in-between world where we are both sky and light, earth and sun. And from there, we turn to the one direction that is left, that inner direction, that place within that is our heart, the place where all of the powers of those directions come together. It's a place where we know our souls, where we know our love, and where we most clearly know and feel in a way that we can't quite articulate, that we are connected. We are connected in the world. We are connected with each other. We are connected with all of life. That goes on and on and on. And we declare it good. Aho. So as we move into our next idea, our next thought, we give thanks for that wonderful sense of connection with life. So I invite you now to move in your thinking to once human beings got connected and they got this sense of connection, they said, what is the power of that? What is the real connection? And they asked the question, what is God? And to share with us one of the oldest versions of the answer to that question, a wonderful friend of mine, Reverend Lorna Bradley, will come forward now and share with us. She's been studying it for a long time. She knows Hinduism, and she knows and understands by practice, since she was about 13, what God really is. Reverend Lorna?
Hinduism is the world's oldest known religion. It was written down in a series of stories called the Vedas, somewhere between 1500 and 3000 years before Christ. And scholars know that it was an oral tradition for many years before that. Now, you may have heard that there are 30,000 or more gods in the Hindu pantheon. That's basically an incorrect idea. That was a misunderstanding by Westerners when they first went to the Indus Valley. There is only one god called Brahman, and that god is not a he, but that god is an infinite energy. Brahman is defined as genderless. He or she is the unchanging, infinite, immanent, and transcendent reality, which is the divine ground of all matter, energy, time, space, being, and everything in this universe and beyond this universe. It is the supreme cosmic spirit, or absolute reality, and is said to be eternal, genderless, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, and ultimately indescribable in human language. Brahman is not a monotheistic god. Brahman is an abstract concept. I love this idea because this is a big, powerful, vast, infinite energy. This is not the angry, jealous god based on the Greek god Zeus. This is an infinite, unknowable energy that creates everything. So Brahman, the Godhead, manifested himself into three people. He became Brahma, not to be confused with the Brahman, Brahma, the creator, Vishnu, the protector, and Shiva, the destroyer, because you have to destroy things before they can be rebuilt and reborn and created anew. So how did Westerners get the idea that there are 30,000 gods in Hindu? Well, because it's hard to get a grasp on the infinite, on the vast nebulous concept of ground of all matter, what does that even mean? The Hindus have different gods to personify individual qualities of the one. Each of these gods have lovers, they have wars, they have pain and suffering, they have family issues, they have the same traumas and dramas that the rest of us do. So, for instance, if you came to me for a prayer treatment, perhaps for relationship issues, and if I talk to you about the infinite qualities of the ground of all being, you might be very confused. But if I said to you, you know, Shiva and Radha had the same problem in their relationship, and this is how they handled it, then you might leave with a greater understanding of what to do and how to handle your problem. The many gods are qualities of the one, and the one is infinite. But they illustrate the concepts of the divine in a way that's relatable to everyday life and everyday events. The ineffable, everywhere present concept of God as the ground of all being and as the nothingness from which everything springs, this sounds a lot like the unified field in quantum physics, because physicists now are saying that there's a vibrating field of infinite energy, and some call it consciousness, and it's from this that all matter develops. It sounds a lot like Brahman 5,000 years ago. There's also the concept that there is the sound of God, the sound of this infinite creation. I love it that God has a sound and we can know it and we can use it. The sound of God is Om. It's that Om that we chant when we meditate. Om is called the primordial sound. It's called the first sound. And Om is not a word, but it's merely a vibration. It's the sound of things coming into manifestation. Remember that the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word is the vibration of things moving into matter. The word is Om, which later developed into the word Amen, which we use every day. The word Amen is used by Tibetans, Greeks, Egyptians, Muslims, Jews, and Christians to say, this is my word coming into form. This is the sound of God manifesting. And so it is.
Money, Padme Hum.
So the question becomes then, who are we? If this is who God is, who are we? And Doug Moody will share that from the tradition of Judaism.
Good morning, everyone. I'm here to share with you the Hebrew holiday and celebration of Hanukkah and how that fits into this season of light that we are currently enjoying. Hanukkah is historically and is a very historic and spiritually rich time of the year known as the season of light, and it's been recognized and celebrated by the people of the Jewish faith for over 2,200 years. The menorah, or in Hebrew, lampstand, is the oldest continuous used religious symbol in Western civilization, and it's found in every Jewish temple and home. You have to put it in context. This was way before electricity. So they had these huge candelabras, basically, that were placed strategically in temples to provide light. In short, the Hanukkah story comes from around the second century before Christ, at a time when the Greek Empire was ruling the world and the most powerful nation. The Greeks joined forces with the Syrians to form the most powerful army, and they conquered Israel. The Greeks ruled Israel oppressively. The Jews were punished, sometimes even killed, for simply practicing and demonstrating their spiritual faith. The Greeks forced the Greek ideals of physicality, beauty and pleasure, and intellectualism over the Jewish values of spirituality, law, justice, and knowledge. The Greek army ransacked the high temple in Jerusalem and destroyed the Jewish holy vessels within it and replaced them instead with the pagan statues of Greek gods and idols in efforts to strip Israel of its Jewish heritage and faith. One day, the Greeks challenged the Jews to a pagan sacrifice involving a pig and a Greek god, and that actually became a tipping point causing a band of courageous Jews to flee the city of Jerusalem. The Jewish high priest, Mitayahu, and his son, Judah the Maccabee, formed an army and led a guerrilla warfare-style revolt that lasted 3 years against the crushing odds of the superpower of the Greek and Syrian army. The Maccabees, as the Jewish army was referred to, miraculously defeated the Greek army and recaptured the high temple in Jerusalem. They cleared the temple of all the Greek statues and rededicated it on the 25th day of the Jewish month of Kislev, which is now September. Because the Greek army destroyed most of the Hebrew artifacts and sacred vessels in the high temple, there was no menorah to be found to light in celebration. Only a jar of oil bearing the seal of the Jewish high priest was found. So that was lit, providing light out of the darkness for Israel and its people. The sacred oil miraculously burned far past anyone's expectations for 8 consecutive days and nights until replacement oil could finally be brought into the high temple. Today, Hanukkah is celebrated for 8 days in remembering this historic war and the 8 days and nights the light burned in the high temple. The menorah is used today as its candles are lit each evening during Hanukkah at sundown with blessings and prayers spoken in rich ritual, remembering these struggles, the perseverance, and the victories of the Maccabee army, what they endured to pave the way and light to keep the faith and the cultural values of individual relationships with God that is central to Judaism all around the world. Each night of Hanukkah, an additional candle is lit. The menorah stays lit for 30 minutes, and during that time, the light of the menorah is revered by family members, and they cannot focus or think about anything other than this story, and their attention must stay focused on the light of these candles. I think we would call that today meditation. The Hanukkah message is one of light over darkness, faith over fear, freedom over oppression, and remaining true to one's spiritual values and one's relationship with God over the physical temptations in life. The 8 days of Hanukkah are intentional, with rich Hebrew culture and symbolism, as the number 8 symbolizes eternity, meaning God's light is always and forever with us. Hanukkah reminds each of us never to forget or lose faith in the presence of this guiding light of spirit that comes from within each of us.
Now we will hear the Hanukkah song.
Have a party, we'll all dance the hora. Gather round the table, we'll give you a treat. Sivivone to play with and latkes to eat. And while we are playing, the candles are burning low. One for each night, they share a sweet light.
And from Hanukkah and Judaism, where we begin to discover who we are, humanity evolved forward and began to really understand how we relate, to this thing called God. And Reverend Cynthia McCarthy will share with us how that relationship has evolved. Thank you, Cynthia.
Thank you, Dr. Bob. So, good morning and happy solstice to all of you. Here is a little bit of trivia about me you may not know. 25 years ago this week, I got married on the winter solstice because I love it. Now, even though that marriage did not pan out, that's neither here nor there. I still love this time of year very much. I love that there is one 24-hour period where we experience the most darkness of the whole year and the least amount of light. So it feels like the shortest day of the year and a day that's going to go by quickly because there's not much daylight. Now, for most of us in the United States where we all live, we may not really notice the darkness of this day. And that's because we experience, 8 to 9 hours of daylight. So it's pretty manageable. But in other places in the Northern Hemisphere, it is a very noticeable thing. For instance, in Fairbanks, Alaska, they only get 3 hours and 41 minutes of daylight on their winter solstice. So it's a very short day. In Bodø, Norway, which has a population of about 52,000 people, so a lot of people live there, they get 48 minutes of daylight on the winter solstice. That's it. That's a short day. And we know that reaching the solstice on the calendar is, it's like you hit that mark, and once you hit it, it means the next day there is going to be just a little bit more light, and a little bit more light the day after that, and a little bit more, and on, more light in our world is what that's going to feel like. Now, people who live in darkness, like in those places I mentioned, are really going to appreciate the solstice. It would be something to celebrate, because that day is a promise of the light to come. They know that when they wake up that next day, there will be a little bit more light than the day before. It is guaranteed. So there's no question about whether you believe that the days following the solstice will have more light. It's a planetary, natural, scientific thing that can be calculated. So the solstice isn't just a hopeful thing, it's a certainty. And that's why it's so wonderful that, as we've been discussing, so many faith traditions and religions have holidays surrounding this scientific event that is equated with sun having victory over darkness and this bold assurance and expectation of light coming into the world. We can trust in our faith with that level of certainty, whatever our religion or faith tradition might be. Now, arguably the biggest holiday this time of year is Christmas, which we know celebrates the birth of Christ, the birth of our great example and master teacher, Jesus. The light of the world coming to earth, a promise from God. The promise is that no matter how full of darkness our life is, no matter how much we think we are separate from God, no matter how much we are living in the darkness of not understanding spiritual principle and our truth, the light is coming. The light is there. Darkness does not prevail. This light, this incarnation of God, is personal. It's personal to you. It's personal to me. It's personal to every one of us. God made flesh. Ernest Holmes wrote in The Science of Mind, "There can and does descend into our minds a divinity, a unity, the spirit of God, the direct incarnation of the original thing in us, the mystical presentation of Christ." And my section of this solstice celebration was called, "How Do We Relate?" This is how we relate. The Christian birth story is our story. The divine incarnation is inherent in our nature. The Christ light is our essence. Join with me in affirming the truth of this winter solstice and the truth for all humanity, knowing that the Spirit of God shines within each one of us. Truly, all is calm, all is bright. And now it's my pleasure to introduce Reverend Rich Smith, who you just heard sing the Hanukkah song, and he's a very special person to me. He was my UCC pastor at a church, First Congregational Church in Reno, Nevada, years ago, and he's the first minister to ever invite me to guest speak in his pulpit. So I'm very grateful to him. Here is Rich Smith again.
Spirit.
Thank you. That was beautiful. Thank you to all of our speakers this morning and all of our music. So this brings us to the last question. So why are we here? Why has this amazing thing we call God manifested itself as us? For what purpose? And I would say the answer is rather direct and simple. For the purpose of being alive. Why are you here? You're here to live. You're here to live well. You're here to be the light. Because you are the light of the world. You know, Jesus said that 2,000 years ago, and nobody's really believed him since then. We've been jumping through all kinds of hoops, assuming that we got to do things, certain things, to be the light. You know, you have to sign up for the right religion, or you have to sign up to and behave a certain way, or you have to be put together a certain way, or you have to love certain people but not other people, or all kinds of crazy stuff like that that we've made up, when the answer is really pretty simple. You are the light of the world. It's that simple. Why are we here? We're here to be the light. We're here to be the light for ourselves. We're here to shine the light into the darkness for any of us, any of our fellows who are struggling with that idea, who are feeling lost, who are caught in the darkness. This is a tough time we live in right now for many, many people. A lot of loneliness, a lot of folks isolated in their homes. A lot of people who are missing the touch of family and friends and those they love. And that takes a toll on us. Our bodies need touch. That's how we work. It's what it fuels the light within us, is to touch the light in other people, physically as well as emotionally and spiritually. So in this time that we're in, it's more important than ever to find ways to reach out and to reach into the hearts and lives of other people. So, you know, one of the talks we often do in January is about what is this thing called God and who are we? And often my title has been, "You're it." It's the old childhood game. You know, everybody loves to be it, because then you get to run around and catch everybody else. Well, in your life, you're it, like it or not. Sometimes I preferred not to be it. I preferred to hide in my little corner somewhere and try to stay hidden the whole time the game went on. But, you know, that left me left out. And the same thing is true now. We can't hide away, because no matter what, you're it. You're always it. So what do we do? How do we be the light? How do we bring this light forward into the world? Well, I got three suggestions for you. The first one is, have fun. Did you hear that? Are you getting that? Have fun. We get so serious with this thing called spirituality. But look at the world. Look at the joy in the world. Look at the liveliness. Look at the sense of humor that's throughout creation. Duck-billed platypi or platypuses. I don't know which way you say that. Whichever way it is. That's God having a great sense of humor. And there are a number of other creations like that. Some of you may think you're it. You may be the funniest thing God ever made. Or that ever showed up as this one thing, incarnate into light, as light. One of the greatest ways to share the light is to share the joy that you feel at any given moment. People rarely turn away from someone talking and thinking and expressing the things they really love. Not what they wish they loved, or not what they think of what would impress other people, but what really shines from within you. What do you really love? I love my grandkids. You know, I'm sparing you a lot of pictures of the grandkids. I really started to put that with the heart picture early on, because I thought, you know, where's my heart? They just excite me in so many ways, and I can talk about them forever. And most of the time, if I'm not going too long, people are happy to hear those stories. So have fun. And the second thing is, live your divine heart's purpose. Live on purpose. What is your purpose in being alive? What is your purpose in being here? What makes you want to wake up in the morning and gets you excited about a new day? Keeps you up at night sometimes not wanting to go to sleep because you don't want to miss out. you say, well, I don't know what my life's purpose is. And sometimes it can feel that way. Sometimes we can feel really lost. And sometimes when that's true, our only purpose is to sit and wait till we know what our purpose is. But the truth is, there is something in you that always knows what your purpose is. All we have to do is listen for it and ask for it and declare it. Something in me knows what is mine to be and to do. Something in me knows what my purpose is. And that something is going to reveal it to me right now. One of my teachers used to put her hands on her hips and shake her body and say, there is good in this and I demand to see it. Well, it's the same idea. What is your purpose? Something in you always knows what that is, no matter what. So have fun, live your life purpose, and thirdly, be of service to the world as love. Love and light are the same thing. Love is the energy that creates everything. It's another name for the light that we talk about, which is the actual physical energy of all creation. So be of service. Get outside of ourselves and be of service to some other thing or cause or person. Start with being of service to yourself. Got to take care of us first. It's the old airplane thing, you know, put your mask on before you put anybody else's on. Be of service in places where you're wanted, because if it's not where you're wanted, it's not service, it's something else. Be of service to a hurting people right now. Be of service to a political cause if you care for one. Be of service in whatever capacity your purpose is calling you toward. See, and the cool part is, because you are the light, because you have the wisdom coming from the West and the new spiritual awareness coming from the East, and you're called to stand tall and you're held closely by Mother Earth and all of that, you can't get it wrong. No matter what. No matter how long or how deeply or how intensely you may try to hide and not be it, even in hiding, you're it. Because then the game changes and it becomes your game. So in closing, I would just like to say, be aware, be conscious that you are the light and that you are shining your light, that you're evolving and creating a greater light of who you are by having fun, by finding and following that purpose within you that's already there, and by being of service through love to the world. You get to choose what that all is and how it shows up. And you have everything, every resource available to you in the universe, in God itself, to bring that forward in a way that is successfully. You can do that because it really matters to the rest of us, to the whole world. Because without you, it would not be complete. And because you're wonderful. And so am I. And so it is. And so as we move into the next phase here, I would like to invite Doug Moody back to share with you a spiritual mind treatment, otherwise known as affirmative prayer. Doug, take it away.
Thank you, Dr. Bob. So let's just take this moment together and just relax. Uncross your limbs and arms and legs and be open and receptive. I'm going to lead you in an affirmative prayer, ask you to accept whatever resonates with you, and whatever doesn't, just let it go. Take a deep breath and do this with me. There is only one light, one infinite intelligence, one divine creator, one cosmic something that is operating throughout the universe and operating through me and each present right here, right now, and always. And I and each are always connected to this infinite energy, this infinite wisdom and light, because it's always within. All I have to simply do is recognize it and call it forth. And when I do so, I allow myself to be the light in the world. And I love this idea. It excites me. So today, I claim divine wisdom, divine love, divine recognition guiding me in each forward on our journey, evolving out of whatever darkness may appear to be surrounding us, knowing that each and every one of us is guided by this divine light, this light that is always, always, always within. I don't have to look anywhere else for it. I can be reminded of it, but I know that is always within me and within each. And by calling it forth, I allow myself to grow and bloom and prosper and be the beautiful, unique self and gift to the world that I was created to be. I know this is my divine truth and the truth of each. And I celebrate this idea with great joy and gratitude for the richness of this new thought teaching that we celebrate and enjoy, that recognizes all of this ancient wisdom that has been accumulating and growing and becoming a part of our consciousness for thousands of years, that is still very much a part of us now in each and every day. I'm grateful for this center. I'm grateful for this teaching. I'm grateful for the spirit of life that moves effortlessly through me and each present. And knowing this, I release my word into the universal law, knowing it is already done. I'm already the light, and it is wonderful. And so are you, and so am I. And together we say, and so it is.
And remaining in that consciousness, I invite you into a few moments of meditation. Allow your mind to remain turned inward to that great power within you, to that great quiet, perhaps darkness of silence behind your eyelids. And with each breath, breathing deeply, recognize with me that in the darkness, there is always light. Behind your eyes, there is always light. And see if you can feel that place within you, that center of your heart, where there is a light generator, where the light is shining brightly. Imagine it like a tiny pinpoint. And as each candle lights another candle, that light grows brighter and brighter within you, until you find this light being a sphere of light, filling all of your body within. And then imagine it growing even greater and larger and more powerful. As it shines, and it shines out past your body and fills the space around you, so that wherever you go, people see this light. Imagine it swirling out in light beams and touching the hearts of all of those you love. Imagine it touching those people you may not know so well, and awakening within them the awareness of the light. And if you're bold enough, imagine your light shining into the hearts and spaces of people that you perhaps don't like so much, that you don't understand, or you can't imagine how or why things happen the way they do. Nothing is depleted from you by letting your light, your love, shine on them as well. For indeed, you are the light.
I am. shine so bright. I illuminate the darkness. I am a light. I shine so bright. I illuminate the darkness. There are times when I forget that spirit lives inside of me. When I drop into that source of love in my heart, I am free. And I am a light. I shine so bright.
Hear from the wonderful board member and an amazing techno expert who has put this whole thing together for us and pulled it from all over the place and handled it all himself. So thank you so much, Vance. tell us what's next.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Bob. Mm-hmm. This is a great thing. I want to say thank you to everybody. We've had an awesome year. Thank you for all your contributions, all that you've shared with us and continue to share. And that's allowed us to grow and develop and spread this message out even further than we were before when we were in a physical space. So we are glad you're here. And I'm going to share my screen for the affirmation of prosperity. So read this with me aloud and we'll go there. Share. All right. I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow, and all that I share with life returns to me, multiplied abundantly, and so it is. There are several ways you can give, online, on the website, through PayPal. You can send in a check. We get all different kinds of ways to do those contributions, which keeping us going. I'd like to introduce the speaker for next week. Next Sunday is Reverend Cynthia McCarthy talking about making magic. She said, bring a pen and paper and take notes, because she's got some things that should stimulate ideas. So, and if you've got questions that have come up during the talk or want to share something, we're going to stay after and have a discussion about that too. On Tuesday afternoons from 12 to 12:30, there's a spiritual empowerment session led by Dr. Bob, and it's the same code you got on here with, and something we do to just share the word, share these messages, share them, are on your Facebook page, share this with other people, share the live broadcast, or see it later and share it with other people. Before service on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. is our morning discussion group, and that's led by Maya Fuller, and they're starting January. We're just finishing up the Science of Mind textbook, 365 days, and we're going to do 365 days of richer living with starting in January 1st. So, but you don't have to read the book. You can just come have a discussion about what these spiritual principles are in your life. And I'd like to thank all of our practitioners who do amazing work. So if you've got anything going on in your life that you're not able to work with on your own, you can put a prayer request on the website. All of their contact information is on the website, and some of them are putting their information in the chat so you can reach out to somebody that will help you know a better thing about who you are and what's going on in your life. So with all of that, I am super grateful to be a part of this community and help just be here. I'm glad to do Sunday celebrations. It's awesome. And I'm going to give it back to Dr. Bob.
So thank you. Thank you, Vance, for that and for reminding us of how we can participate in this center. I want to give a big thank you to all of our practitioners who are the spiritual foundation of the center, to our board who are the physical stewards, actually, of our center and in taking things forward and forth. We are truly excited to have one new board member coming on board who has agreed to this as of yesterday, and that is Maya Fuller will be a new member of our board. She will be, I won't say replacing, but she will be taking a position as David Gibbs has stepped away for a bit. So all of that is about the continued growth and going forward and getting larger of who and what we're all about. So I thank you all for everything you've contributed. So I'd like to close a little differently today, and I'd like to close with, again, a spiritual mind treatment affirmative prayer for each of you and for all that you love and all that you know and all people whom you touch. So what I know is there's one power, one infinite love that moves in, as, and through all of us. We know it is light. We know it as truth. We know it as the power of our love, the power of goodness. And we know it as gentle, fun, compassion, caring, from the littlest things to the biggest things. And so as we move through this ending of the solar year tomorrow, the rest of the day and tomorrow, there we recognize there is no thing enough in the darkness that can harm us. There's no thing in the darkness that does anything other than open us to revealing a greater truth about ourselves. And so we step into today and we step into tomorrow and the days to come as the light returns more brightly in our physical world. We allow that light to shine more brightly within our hearts, within our own emotional, spiritual worlds. And as it does so, it brings great fun and it allows our purpose to become very clear as we move forward. And it does that in a way that lets us know and shows us within each of us what is ours to do, where is ours to serve, how is it for us to participate in a world that works for everyone, in a world that is constantly changing and can work for everyone according to their idea of their highest and greatest good. So knowing that, I know that there is only goodness coming forward. Everywhere we have been, all that we have done so far has been to express the goodness of God as us the best we knew. And we now expand that expression to a greater fullness, a greater freedom, and a greater light. This is who we are. This is what we do. This is what we're about. And so with deep gratitude for every person on the call, for deep gratitude for everyone in earshot of this call, for everyone who is touched by our even thinking about them during this time, I'm grateful for the life that everyone brings to make this world what it is, to make our life experiences what they are. And in that gratitude, and gratitude for the God within us that is sharing as each of us, in that gratitude, I release this treatment now, knowing this is complete. This is done. I let it be, and so it is. Thank you.